Hang Zone coming at you.
Previously in the Hang Zone.
I'm not excited about the next time on a roller coaster. Water slides, let's go. Oh my God, Dan.
You like water?
Oh my God. Oh my God. There's a wasp in here.
It's just the mud.
Go! Get that away from me. I don't care.
He can land on you.
I'm not. No, get it out of here. Get it out of here.
I'll open the window. I'll go pick him up. He doesn't do anything.
He's right there.
He cannot sting.
Oh, he's on the light.
He can't sting.
Why does he have a stinger then?
Look.
Why does he have a stinger if he can't sting?
Well, I'm glad you just don't want your daughter to see you acting like a little girl.
We're in close quarters here. You've got a wasp in the
middle. It doesn't sting. It's a friendly neighborhood
Okay,
wasp.
Let's bring a dozen of them in every day.
I just put my hand up to try and catch him.
Then catch him. Get away from me. Can I kill it?
Check that. Chris Everett, good to have you on the show.
You know what? You know, you've been calling me that for about the last 5 years.
About 2 years, actually, Chris.
Well, hey, you know what? Let me say one thing. In that game, how many sacks did I have that we came back and won?
How many sacks did you have?
Yeah, how many sacks?
Let's see, but this was back in 1989.
Okay, that was
so
about
you may have even been Jim Everett back there, but somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. That, you know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time...
I already did it twice.
You call one more time, we better take a station break.
Well, it's a five-minute segment, or five-segment show. We got a long way to go.
Well, we do.
We got a long way to go.
We do.
I'll get a couple segments out of
you
before.
It's good to be here with you, though.
Well, it's good
to
see you, too.
Because you've been talking like this behind my back for a long time.
But now I said it right here.
Right, exactly.
Well, we got no problems
then. I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris?
From a series of a game, big goals from Shabby, Kiwi, Danny, suck on those, but I gotta give it to the f***ing Russian machine.
We're not going home!
This is for all you new people. I only have one rule. Everyone fights. No one quits. Don't do your job, I'll kill you myself. Do you get me?
We don't deserve!
Welcome to the Roughnecks.
Rico's Roughnecks!
Hang Zone coming at you.
This is Blake Coleman, and I never listen to Jake and Dan on the ticket.
I've seen my grandfather fire a gun at an armadillo.
It's just afternoon on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket. So pop that lunch on your car tray. Sit back and hang in the Hang Zone.
But here's one thing that is just a reality of our new life. Buffets are done. No more buffets.
Featuring David Mino and his hot back.
Recently, Mino and I got really into seeing videos of Komodo dragons fighting on the internet.
Our female CEO, Julie Dobbs.
Did you guys know that I am also on the fishing show?
Blake Jones! Who's Blake Jones?
Have you seen Dude Perfect's latest trick?
And now, your Hang Zone host, from noon to three, it's Jake Kemp and Dan McDowell.
F*** everybody!
Hell yeah!
All right, all right, all right. Wednesday, March 3rd, show 249 of The Hang Zone with Dan and Jake. Show 206 right here in the Dragon Den of Inequality. We do have Blake here today in the den.
Look at this.
What's up, guys?
Wearing his tiger red.
He's got a polo tucked in.
Yeah.
And he's got dress pants on.
I thought were your chinos.
Okay.
I thought you were chinos. Chinos?
Yeah, I couldn't tell, because when you tuck the shirt in, it feels like they become dress pants.
I was trying to fit in with you guys.
I don't... do chinos every single day. You can't just label me and call me chinos guy.
Sorry.
That is Jake, though. But yeah, I'm probably an every other day guy. I'm trying not to wear the same pants every day. That's how I'm growing and maturing. I think this is show three ever that Blake was in the den. Or do you got four?
I think three.
One with me. One with... Or no, now this will be... Yeah, one with me, one with Jake, and then now with both.
Yeah. And I think the one with you involved the wife coming up here at an inopportune time.
As
you
were, that's right.
In the bathroom, which is an open door policy up here. Basically, this is my office. It's above the garage, and no one ever comes up here, so that door does not ever close. In fact, you see where the dog bowls are, making it unable to close the door because the water bowl is right in front of the door if you would try to close it.
Number one, in 1 year, I think I've seen her up here once. So, roughly one per
year. She's generally
year,
not home.
You, one per one.
She's not generally even home.
And
which
two,
is, great.
The blocked bathroom door with the dog bowls indicates in somewhat passive-aggressive terms, don't go in here and sit down. And I haven't.
See, it makes sense that it's an open door policy. I just don't believe it. Because the one time I've been in there, I've been walked in on. If you're just setting up some sort of ruse.
Did you end up with a penthouse letter you could write?
No, just a awkward meeting with your wife. That's it.
So we are up here, the three of us. And Blake is here because he has been working hard assembling an anniversary show. Now, back in the old days, Jake, when you and I did a show called Bad Radio. Remember, Jake's been on Bad Radio for a decade, so it's not like he's new to this thing. But Jake would put together what we called a birthday show. This is way different.
Yeah.
This is an anniversary show.
But on your birthday. So it's a bit convoluted.
It actually is my birthday. So February 11th was the show's birthday / anniversary, but... We
had to go public.
Oh, we had a big announcement that day. That's right, Julie.
Yeah. We had to go public that day.
Julie had us going public.
And then Snowvid 21 pushed us back.
That's right. We were going to do it last week, weren't we?
Just all sorts of
nonsense. We have excuses.
That's right.
We have reasons. As my daughter would tell me, it's I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm giving you a reason. I said,
I kind of like that.
Huh. All right.
Big plans. Ice cream. There's got to be ice cream in the mix today. Got to be.
Possibly. I should thank Eatsies because Adam Romo is the best. He's the CEO of Eatsies. I actually met him because I was he's a big P1, but I was a big Eatsies P1, and I met him one day outside of the Dallas Eatsies when I was there probably making some kind of a drug deal. But... He stopped by today and brought not only lunch for us, the members of the den, he brought a carrot cake, which is my favorite kind of cake.
Mm-hmm. That's thoughtful.
I've warmed up on it a lot. You know, when you're a kid and someone breaks it out, it's not at a kid's birthday, but if it happens to be a part of a holiday, you're like, why?
I like it.
Why would I want to eat? Why don't we do lettuce cake? Why not portobello?
Well, that's the thing. I like it now because of the branding, and it makes me feel like, oh, I'm eating something somewhat healthy. But I don't think it's any healthier than a chocolate cake.
I don't think it's loaded with vitamin A.
You don't see, you don't get great vision after one slice. That was always a selling point to me that I thought, is that really what you're going to hit me with? Like, oh, I can see better if I eat carrots, then let me... Hustle right on down. You never get snowed.
I've
on
heard that,
that
but
kid.
It can't be true, right? What's behind that?
You know, probably just some of the nutrients in it can contribute to not losing your eyesight, but that doesn't feel like it's worth it. It is interesting if you look at kind of the three stages of man based on our lunch orders. So Dan, very healthy.
Salmon and broccoli.
Looks great.
Yeah.
In fact, double broccoli for the side. You can get two sides when you go to the grill.
I've never pulled the trigger on that. I will usually go with one vegetable, speaking of carrots.
Just a broccoli man overall.
I know.
This is not new.
Yeah, I know.
This is not inspired by soda. I love broccoli.
So, Dan.
Don't know why.
Fish, double broccoli. One more step. Jake, turkey sandwich. Not the healthiest thing in the world, but it's in the middle.
No sides.
And then Blake, fried ribeye, macaroni and cheese, and mashed potatoes.
Let's go.
It's the three stages of age.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
As you get older, you start to care more about your diet, I think, as you see. That's why being 50 sucks. And I'm over 50, but we'll just leave it at that. Because I'm real so vain. It sucks because, you know, unless I'm going to live to be the oldest man who ever lived, definitely over halfway.
Oh, yeah, I thought that at 35. This is probably the halfway point.
But so as you get closer to that, you're like, oh, man, what can I do? What can I do to stave this off? Jake's getting there, obviously. Now you got a kid, and you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll eat a little better. Maybe I can start to incorporate some of these things. And Blake is like,
whatever, bro.
I will live forever, man. I don't care. Carb?
Give me all of them.
We also have shrimp skewers, which look delightful.
Yeah.
That's cool, guys.
And
sorry, Julie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Julie.
Sorry, Mino.
We used to always get the birthday cakes here.
You guys have enjoyed.
Everybody else loses when
that
you're
is
not
the,
here.
Up at the station.
That is the COVID problem, isn't it?
It is.
It's the biggest problem.
The only problem with COVID is
buffets are done.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Buffets are done. No more buffets.
That's Brian Windhorst. We did a segment yesterday on the Windhorst food montage, and I was listening to he actually had Tim McMahon on recently, and I thought I'd listen to his podcast and, you know, see what they say about Luca and stuff like that. And here's how they opened. Here's how they opened the podcast. Oh, are we not pulled up here, Blake? Am I pulled up?
Yeah.
All right.
Joining me from Boston, Massachusetts, is Tim Bontemps. What'd you have for lunch, Tim?
I haven't had lunch yet.
No.
All right, first
what
of all...
Odd? I mean...
First of all, find out how upset... It feels like Windhorst is upset he didn't eat.
Is Tim Bontemps. What'd you have for lunch, Tim?
I haven't had lunch yet.
No.
Oh.
I guess thanks for coming on the show.
Just the concept of someone being hungry messes with him so much.
That was a different Tim. Here's the next one.
Joining us from Dallas, Texas is Ben McMahon. Man, I know McMahon had lunch.
<He's> not-
Yeah, I know you love a good meal, brother.
Man, I know McMahon had lunch.
Just wolfed down a delicious salad my lady made for me. Had like little strawberry slices in there, nuts and all kinds of fancy stuff. Goat cheese. Greatest cheese of all time. Phenomenal.
All right. So
now, the concept of eating a salad elicits the...
basically a punchline.
Greatest cheese of all time. Phenomenal.
All right.
Yeah. No follow-up.
Oh, how about a new all right, all right, all right.
All right. All right. All right.
He's like, I'd rather starve.
Yeah.
Here.
So one guy didn't eat lunch, and the other guy had a salad? What is
that? It sounds like an SNL bit.
I gotta it really kind of does.
You know what? I got to invite Blake on the show.
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking.
I need a guy
really
I
can just dive into his order and really compliment him.
Drinking a 2 liter of cola with it.
And of course, yes, this all did start with, we always got to give the goat. You know, this is kind of like the new aggressive now, isn't it?
I mean, you may have to have team sign-ups for the pool because you have to have social distancing. You can't all be in the pool. So, you know, you can't all be in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure they'll have great food. But here's one thing that is just a reality of our new life. Buffets are done. No more buffets.
Mm. Poor guy.
So upset.
Yeah, that's a guy who media people love to complain about not getting food, you know? That's like a big part of being in the media, I think, sports media in particular.
One of the great reasons to get into it.
Yeah, because it
is free food.
It is kind of populated largely by the male side of things that are a lot of times a little bit hefty.
Right.
They're going with the Blake order. So happy birthday and all that.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, man.
Happy birthday.
Just no plans. I'm just going to press right through like it's a normal day.
Yeah, in fact, the wife said, you know, I know since you're kind of doing soda maintenance, do you want, and part of soda maintenance is you're easing back into real life. And really, if I used to weigh 205 and I, or 210 even, if you're kind of eat the same way, then you're like, I wasn't gaining weight all the time. So if I eat that way, and I'm like, yeah, I'll have some cake. And but my life doesn't, my daughter's birthday is next week, so I'll go for, we'll have cake for her because she really cares. I said, Eatsy's bringing a cake. Let's just eat some of that. Don't make me a cake. Don't, I mean, I said to her, you already failed in the whole waking me up in that special way. So really anything you do now is.
You can handle that yourself, though. Nothing wrong with that. Blake got you
after
an anniversary show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We have an anniversary show. So let's get to that. Because Blake is trying to be better than the previous producer. And I think, have you come up with a top 11 instead of a top 10? We used to always do a top 10, and you said, that's silly.
We're going to turn it up to 11 today.
So we're playing what we consider our top moments from our first year on the program, and we start it all after these messages.
In the Guitar Hero South Park episode.
If so, it's quite some time ago.
I don't think you can say the name of it.
I don't think you can either.
I just saw the final episode of season 2 last night.
Wow, going all the way back.
Yeah. I've seen the last 10 seasons, I think. And then I went back to the very beginning. Or as Blake likes to say,
back.
We're back to Pittsburgh.
Back. Well, let's hand it over to Blake, because today we are doing our first anniversary show of The Hang Zone, and we put together a top list of bits throughout the year. And Blake did it, so here he goes.
I did it. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I want to...
You're here every day? You don't have
not in the
time.
Den.
Oh,
they're all here. I wasn't really asked, so... I kind of just got here and you were here.
Fahey was unavailable.
Okay. Well, I wanted to start with kind of what started it all. Let's go back to May of 2020. And at the time, I think we were discussing a name change for down the road. And I think, and you guys can correct me, I think Hang Zone was the front runner. We liked it enough to name a segment or a bunch of segments the Hang Zone, where we would have people on for an hour. And one of those people was the Loop Daddy, Mark Revier. If you don't know who he is, he creates songs from scratch using this loop machine, hence the nickname The Loop Daddy. And he's from here. He had figured out a way to tour during the pandemic, so that was a reason to have him on. And he was a P1 growing up. So all these things meshed together to make for a great Hang Zone guest. So we thought it'd be cool to have him on. And we figured out technically how he could play some songs for us and connect to our studio and all that.
Like,
so,
that's his bit. He doesn't prep. He doesn't make songs in the studio. He just makes songs on the fly.
Yeah.
That's why he's so awesome.
Completely from scratch.
Do it live!
And even in talking to him before the segment,
he's
like
a real culinary trained chef.
I said, do you want some, you know, some ticket phrases or, you know, just jargon? And he said no. He wanted to create everything from scratch. We asked him, hey, let's make a theme song for the Hang Zone. And he delivered this song, which is a big staple of the open. And I think it's a big reason why we settled on The Hang Zone. It's just too cool of a song. So first segment of our anniversary show today for The Hang Zone is from May 2nd, 2020. Mark Rebier creates The Hang Zone theme song.
I think what's really interesting for those who don't know, because I didn't know this before we had Blake conversing with you off the air, our producer, as far as how much you are just actually into the improv of it all. We wondered, did we need to feed you a few things and you could prep for a day on, you know, you were going to do some music for us. And
yeah.
he said you refused that.
I did refuse that. I don't like preparation. I don't like, I don't know why. I just don't like having a plan. And so I figured I would just make something up from scratch and see what happens. What do you think?
Just load up the pads and go.
That's it. You'll just hear me layer it up and figure it out, and then off we go.
So since you are a guest in the Hang Zone, we need a theme. We need a hang
for
zone
the hang
theme.
Zone.
We need a hang zone theme. It's Dan and Jake. It's the ticket. It's Dallas Fort Worth. That's pretty much all I have for you. You can use some or none of that, but we need a hang zone theme badly.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. Let's do it. Get your coffee on, ticket Dan and Jake. Time to get your ticket up, stick it in your tailpipe. Oh, babe, time for the hang zone. Gonna hang it out, gonna hang that out. Gonna hang it out, baby, have a little conversation. Gonna talk to you, gonna talk to me. Gonna read the news, gonna feel real free. Gonna DFW to Metroplex is rolling, baby. High five, five, yeah. You're driving, put that on. Put the radio on, put the radio on. That's it. Hang zone coming at you. Oh, hang zone, baby, I'm coming. Yeah, let's do like a theme. Say, yo, I said, hey, hang zone coming at you. Like to yo, yo, hang zone coming at you. I got a 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 hang zone coming at you. Gonna get it, gonna get it, gonna hang, gonna hang, gonna hang, gonna do it, baby, do the real thing. Gonna talk about it, gonna talk some more, gonna talk a little bit, gonna talk on the floor, gonna talk in the side, gonna get high, gonna do the rest, gonna do a good word of breath. I said, take it, baby, coming at you. I said, come on, coming at you. I said, hang zone coming at you. I got a 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 hang zone coming at you. I got a
tears.
What did you think, guys?
Absolutely incredible.
Do it again.
And I just want to be clear to people who aren't familiar with Mark, to P1s out there, all improv, all the music, all the harmonies, all the lyrics. You did it. We're proud of you. We appreciate you stopping by the Hang Zone today.
Oh, guys, I can't thank you enough for having me. Dallas is always first place in my heart. I was born and raised there, and I love coming back and playing shows, and you guys are the best. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Bye.
There he has it, the Loop Daddy.
So, that was segment number one, and I don't know about you guys, but I've probably heard that song at least 100 times. So cool.
Quite a few. Quite a few. Played it for a lot of people right away. It still blows me away to hear the genesis.
So I want to try to get one more in here. I tried to develop a theme while putting these segments together, and we just heard Rubby A create the Hang Zone theme song, and next we're going to hear Dan and Jake create a song, too. Julie, do you remember your Bora Bora trip?
I do. Yeah. I think I was in Bora Bora when you guys created that theme song.
Well, now you've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah, well, upon Julie's return from her vacation away, Dan and Jake made songs to welcome her back, and that is our next moment on the Hang Zone Birthday Show. From July 20th, 2020, here are the Julie songs.
Bora Bora, oh Julie, why did you go? Yeah, 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 yeah. Bora Bora, oh Julie, we missed you so. She left our presents 3 months ago. It seemed more like 3 years, the time sure moved slow. I used to think she was ticker booth hot, until I got a good look at Russell Scott. Bora Bora, oh Julie, didn't want to go. No, 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 no. Bora Bora, Julie was asked to wash for laundry loads. I really missed the sight of your face. To tell the truth, I even missed the sting of your mace. There is a silver lining with you away so far. It's now been 99 days since I've heard from HR. Bora Bora, oh Julie, why did you go? Why? Bora Bora, oh Julie, for laundry loads. Dance break. Did you miss me, Julie?
Oh, yeah. I'm dancing.
How often did you think about me per day? Over or under like 1,000 times?
Zero.
Come on.
I thought about you when I turned on the radio and heard your voice. I was like, oh, yeah, there's Dan. He's nice.
She's sandbagging.
Are we talking through the dance break? I like
it. It's clear. All right, gotta go. Our show's been flailing, I swear to God. We really needed someone who had once caught a cod. There are some changes of which you should be warned. We're now called Rico's Roughnecks and just talk about porn. Bora Bora, taking Julie. Oh, it's a sin. Bora Bora, now she's back in the Zen bin. That's my song for Julie. Is that a chicken? Have you ever had dreams? Welcome back, Judo.
Thank you, Dan. I loved it.
At least we didn't all reach for the exact same themes.
Scott and Hot rhyme. It's just too... It's
Did you put there. Russell Scott in your song, too?
I last minute edit, but I think we all seized on the Zen bin.
The Zen bin, the Bora Bora.
Okay, so this comes to
chicken.
Us.
I laid off
so
chicken.
Much gold.
I told Dan that this was a very popular song, but he's never heard it. So I always hate whenever I do a parody song to something Dan hasn't heard, but I'm positive that he's never heard this gem from 1994 by Tim McGraw. But I'm positive also that Julie has. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Julie's furlough, longer than others, gone for 3 whole months.
Different ticket, ticker fill-ins left a hole in our show. Was pretty certain that she'd be fired. Our pay cuts couldn't save her behind. They didn't ask us who we would let go, but if they had of inquired, we would have said, take Ryan Medlin, take old Monty, you can take Blake too. Take any spare that you want as long as she don't go, take any boy in the world. Please don't take the girl. There ain't no hockey, no goals to review. She's going nuts at home. The Zen bin is overflowing. Just talks to Emily Jones. We only have one female employee. How is this gonna look? You barely gave me a raise at all, and somehow still you thought you wouldn't. Take Ryan Medlin, take old Monty, can take Blake too. Take any spare that you want as long as she don't go, take any boy in the world. Cumulus, please don't take the girl. Had sports, she asked us months ago. Sorry, I made fun of your kid's name. That was just a joke. We need your help talking cycle, sisters. We're lost without your voice. Had been asked who we would let go, Dan and I would have made the choice. We would have said, take Ryan Medlin, take old Monty, take Ty Walker too. Take any spare you want as long as she don't go, take any boy in the world. Please don't take the girl. Julie's furlough longer than others, gone for 3 whole months.
Wow. Is it weird that I'm actually crying?
Somehow that's still not as sad as the original song.
They're both really sad.
Yeah, well, she dies in the original, and you're still here. So far.
All right.
It was an emotional time.
Yeah.
It was a very emotional time. Do you want to tease anything for what's next?
I liked...
Video games.
I liked when we actually reviewed that video later.
I loved it. It is the saddest song of all time. The video that Dan had never seen. So,
we hear
big
from
year
a
for Tim McGraw.
We hear from a Maverick. Next.
Next. This is the Hang Zone's first anniversary show. We have our producer, Blake, here with us in the Dragon's Den. Write that down, Blake. I want to talk about the Redskins football team cheerleader co-ed situation for tomorrow. But for now, we're counting down the top moments of our first year together. And here's Blake.
All right, I told you in the last segment that I tried to create a theme with some of these. And the theme for this segment is just Dirk. I don't know about you guys, but when we interviewed him back in April, it was a big moment, at least for my producing career, because up until then, I'd only booked you guys Randy Brooks.
The guy who wrote Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Yes.
Huh.
So
not a first. not a bad first get, but it's yeah. No Dirk.
No. So this is a little bit of a step up. You guys were in the den. The pandemic was getting going, and things were kind of shaky there. But having the tall German on was awesome because we were doing the 2011 Mavs rewind at that time. And Jake, you're about to mention it in this clip, but at least for me, I feel like this was kind of your big first interview as Tier 1 host.
It was.
So from April 10th, 2020, The Hang Zone interviews Dirk.
And joining us now on the Buyers Barricade Ticket Hotline, it is the GOAT, the legend. 1 year to the day after his final game in a Mavericks uniform, it's Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk, how are you, sir?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
The pleasure all on this side of the table. So Bob moved on to greener pastures.
I heard about that, huh? He big timed you guys.
He did big time as he moves to 3-7, and they promoted me from guy who comes and lets Dirk and Sarah in at back elevator to guy who gets to talk with Dirk.
Wow, so. I see you coming up. I see you coming up.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing this.
He's our Luka.
No.
For sure. First round draft pick, huh?
I don't need that on me. So, first off, the obligatory, how are you and the family holding up during this time, all of that? And I guess related, do you think the fact that you've been retired for a year and having to deal with kids every day might make this somewhat easier than if it hit you right in the middle of a season?
Yeah, I think this is a tough time. This is a tough time for everybody, whether you're an athlete or not, or a retired athlete, or whatever the case may be. You know, you're thinking constantly of your loved ones, my family, friends. You check on them constantly, and you know, worried for the community, for your neighbors. You know, whether they lose their job or loved ones, and so you know, my thoughts are constantly with others in this difficult time. And so hopefully, you know, we can just get through this and, you know, keep listening to the orders and hopefully put this behind us pretty soon and move forward. But, yeah, like I said, this is something that, you know, we haven't seen in my lifetime, that's for sure. And it's been tough. But, you know, you got to see somehow the positive side. And, you know, I'm enjoying spending time with the kids and with the family and checking, speaking with my parents almost daily and just making sure everybody is okay in this difficult time.
I guess hypothetically, just looking at your own life, and we all do, you know, clearly we'll lay it out and just say, okay, other people have much worse than we do, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of cool, if this had to happen ever, it didn't happen during your final season, like that would have erased, or you know, I wonder if your mind has gone to, would I have come back for another year if it had been abruptly ended like this?
Yeah, of course, I was fortunate there. Tough to put me in that position. I probably would have not going through another season just because I didn't get the ending that I was hoping for. I was watching Vince's press conference there. I think that they finished that game in Atlanta, and then they already knew that the season was suspended. And he kind of said in his press conference, "Hey, look, if this was it, then this is it. Not the ending that I wanted and would have hoped for. But you know, I've had a heck of a ride, and of course that." Felt bad for him. I think what he's been doing for now in his 22nd season is amazing, and I'm sure the last couple weeks and months he would have deserved and gotten a couple more standing ovations, maybe even a going away thing too. So I felt bad for him listening to that press conference. But you know, hopefully, we don't know. Things change from day to day, from week to week, and hopefully there is even an end to the season. But it's just too early to tell. But for his sake, I wish there was an end to where he can be celebrated as well.
Dirk, you went with a lot of different looks over the years, and that's been somewhat of a topic of conversation as it relates to the statue and what exactly the look will be. And, you know, the one leg came later, so maybe it'll kind of go with that hair. I say all that to say, have you seen Luka's quarantine beard?
It's a little patchy.
It's a little patchy.
Yeah, I mean, the kid is 21. I don't think I was able to really grow a beard. All I had going there for a while was that little goatee thing. Not the goatee, just on the bottom. What do you call that in English? The look that I had for a long time, which is because that's the only space where in the face where the hair was growing. So I had that hair down on my chin. That's really all I had going, because the rest was too spotty to let grow out.
So we've been rewatching every game of the 2011 run in the playoffs. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit, but I would be remiss if I didn't try to get to the bottom of what happened to your minivan.
Great question. So I was getting picking the kids up. They went for a walk, and then I drove by somewhere, and I drove into this little road there. It was around our house, but it was a dirt road, and I thought I'd just make it through. And sure enough, it rained a lot the couple days beforehand, and I was like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll make it through. And sure enough, I got stuck with my minivan with the kids in the car, wifey, and they're all like, what is going on? So I was like, okay, you guys go home. It wasn't far from home, so they walked home, and I was sitting there. I was like, okay, what am I doing here? So I remember Darren Williams had a big truck, D. Will, and, you know, I knew he lived around the neighborhood, and so I just gave him a text. I was like, hey, bud, I know this is super random, but are you at home by chance with your truck? And he's like, yeah, what's going on? And he couldn't believe it. I mean, when he drove up and he saw me there in the little dirt road, I mean, he was dying laughing. So he took us a little bit, like 10, 15 minutes, and he got me out. So that was my highlight. And, of course, he filmed it a little bit as he got me out, and he put it on his social media, and it obviously blew up, because at the time the league was already canceled, so it was really the only thing that was, I guess, mattered at the time. And so it kind of went viral, and it was funny, though. I got a lot of comments on the minivan, I got to say.
Dirk, you drive a minivan?
Yeah, so when I'm moving with the kids, when we bring them to school and stuff like that, and then we got a little minivan. So how many comments I got? Of course Dirk drives a minivan. It's all coming together. Dirk's driving a minivan.
So as a newly retired guy, I remember in the past you saying that you grew up, you know, we'd ask you what sports you loved and you liked skiing and all that, but you were not able to do that under contract in the NBA. Have you gone out and hit the slopes?
I shouldn't even tell this, but my second day, I was like, oh, I got this. Let me go down this little blue slope that's ended up being a little red on the bottom. Sure enough, there was a little icy patch, and I got turned around, fell on my shoulder, subluxed my shoulder for like a quick hot second before it popped back in. I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. 7 feet tall on skis, weighing, I don't know, 270 pounds. It's just a lot of force going down there. So then I took like 2 or 3 days off. I was like, I shouldn't be doing that. So I just stuck with my parents for a while. But the kids were doing great, and they enjoyed it. And I'm sure one day we'll do it again. But I had enough for one time for now.
Oh, wow. And following up on that, you said, here I am, 270 pounds. I thought I read something that you said you were pushing 300.
I've gotten a little better. I've gotten a little better. Once the initial hit of the summer was over, with the travels and with the eating and trying different foods in different countries, I think I settled back in a little bit, have a little routine again, try to work out every other day again. So the initial hit of, you know, trying every fast food there is and ice cream every night is kind of faded, and, you know, I'm kind of arrived in retired life, and it's been, like I said, it's been fun. It's been on the go. It's been a lot of family time, and just how I really imagined it. But honestly, really busy. I mean, I always thought that once I retire, I'm gonna be home and spend time with the kids all day. But there's been so much happening and traveling around the world, and getting awards everywhere, which I went to the States to visit with the German president. I mean, there's been some really, really cool stuff happening that I would have never thought would ever be possible. So it's been a action-packed packed year, and I really enjoyed it.
Is Holger good with the kids? Like, is he Uncle Holger?
Uncle Holger, he actually came. You know, he's obviously not doing too well now that there's nothing for him to do anymore here with basketball. So he wasn't having a good time. So we got him out here. He came over in like February, and he just hung out. He just hung out and played with the kids. He tried to teach my middle son to play chess. And I'm like, Holger, it's five. He's like, oh, no, he can do it. You know, we used to call Holger is the nutty professor. So he's teaching him, and he was doing good. But then after a few lessons, he's kind of like, all right, I'm over this. Where's the ball? What else can I chase? So he kind of lost interest after a few lessons.
I have a last question, but I'm laughing that. So you have all these goals and dreams. The first thing you did when becoming retired is try every fast food.
Mm-hmm. That was my first dream.
Now we'll get to piano. But the easy one is I just drive through here. And
Yeah, so you know, I try to be good with my diet. I changed my diet when I was like 26, 27. So I try to be, you know, pretty cold turkey, no dessert, no sugar, no drinks, no during the season, no... You know, no red meat, barely any red meat. So it's like, you know, I just had that dream. Once it's all over,
yeah.
I want to go crazy. I had these cravings. So it was a great summer. And then traveling and, you know, trying all sorts of foods and different cultures. And it was everything I always dreamed of.
Man, my final question is just totally out of left field. It doesn't relate to anything we've been talking about, but it is.
You're good. You're good at that.
So. Yeah, hey.
That part hasn't changed.
What was it like playing with Dennis Rodman?
Oh man, that was fun. I always get to say that I played with Dennis Rodman, and a lot of people don't remember that. It was my second season. Cuban had just bought the team, and we were getting better with the core that we had in place, but we were still not quite a playoff team. And Mark's like, I wanna, you know, get this city excited for the Mavs, and I wanna have a big splash. So I'm signing Dennis Rodman, and we're like, okay, interesting decision, but let's try it. And sure enough, here came Dennis the Menace, and it was super interesting. I mean, I always remember, like, we would sit down and we'd have a meeting before the game, and as soon as Nelly turns the film on, he would get up and take a shower, and we're just kind of like, we're watching him walk out of the huddle or in the locker room, we're like, okay, maybe he just felt like showering. So he didn't really, the last couple things, we usually watch some more film and talk about what we're doing in pick and roll coverage and stuff. He walked out of the huddle, so I'm like, okay, interesting. Second game comes along, 40 minutes on the clock, Nelly meets, he's about to turn the video on. Dennis gets up to shower. So in the game came, I mean, he kind of was doing his own thing. Sometimes he would, like, you know, hedge a little bit on pick and roll. Sometimes he would try something else. Sometimes he would switch. I mean, he was kind of like on his own program. And it was interesting, to say the least. That was just his routine. I guess when the team met, he had to shower. And then after the game, he usually, you know, change out his jersey and lift it for like an hour, hour and a half, and put on his cowboy hat and got on the bus. And so he never actually showered after the game. So it was an interesting routine that he had, and it was fun though. I think we had him for a total of like maybe 10 games, but just the way that we were set up and we were a young team to try to grow, it wasn't working for both sides, I think. But it was definitely something that stuck with me, and I can always tell that story for the rest of my life.
All right, dude. Well, we really appreciate the time. Good luck.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
being a dad and driving a minivan.
Keep it out of the mud.
We should, and stay.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain this weekend, so.
I know. Stay safe and stay healthy, everybody. And I'm thinking of the whole community. So take care.
All right, sir. Thanks,
Dirk. Thanks, guys.
Dirk, good time to the Hang Zone in our first year as we look back at our first year anniversary show here, Dan birthday show, and coming up next, it's an interesting story, and I'm sure you're familiar with this one.
Quarter after one, actually 20 after one. Hello. It's Dan and Jake. We have Blake back at our studio. We have Mino. I don't know if his hot back is there. And we have Julie. Mino's Zoom is down.
It's freezing us out.
Anyway, we're doing our first anniversary show for the Hang Zone. Blake put things together. So up next, Blake.
Well, 2020 was good to a former ticket employee, and that was Groobs. He got a chance to fulfill a lifelong dream of playing tunes for the Rangers and working alongside Chuck Morgan. In addition to Groobs, the Rangers also added an organist to the ballpark experience going forward. So we decided to have both Groobs and the Rangers organ guy, Dustin Tatro, on to get to know him a little bit. And I've discovered that chemistry is sort of an important thing you need to try to establish with a guest. And for some reason, we could not get on the same wavelength as Dustin. And there's a lot to digest here. Here's our visit with Groobs and Tex organ guy from July 22nd, 2020.
You're the music guy, but we also have heard that they have an organist. And his name is Dustin. Dustin Tatro.
Yeah.
And he actually joins us right now as well as we welcome him.
Whoa!
As we bring him up.
Hey, guys.
Dustin! Hello to you and hello to your organ.
He makes an intro.
That's right. I'm actually sitting in my home studio. COVID has changed so much. I'm sitting in my home studio here in Abilene with the actual 1951 Hammond you'll hear at the ballpark.
Wow.
This season, at least.
Do you know Groobs? Say hi to Groobs.
Hey, bud. And hey, yeah, Justin. We've met a few times. I think there's a lot in common that we've got.
What is your experience with ballpark and game day entertainment? What's your background coming into this?
Really not much. It's kind of an interesting story. I sang the national anthem at a couple of Midland Rockhounds games. I grew up in West Texas. I'm an Andrews Mustang. And that's about it. The Odessa Jackalopes, back before it was that entry-level league, and the Rockhounds, just singing the national anthem. Interesting story. I dropped out of baseball, T-ball, in fact, when I was six, because I needed to devote more time to practicing the piano. And that's kind of hit me from time to time where it would have gone, but I'm pretty sure that this is the only way I would have made it to the big leagues. Interestingly enough, my T-ball team was the Astros, and the year I was playing for the Astros, my last year in baseball, was the year that Robin Ventura charged the pitching mound at Arlington Stadium. And that probably was the moment that I became a Rangers fan. I've been a fan since as long as I can remember, well back to then. So as the story goes, I have a 20-year background in radio out here in West Texas and have always had a bit of admiration for Chuck Morgan. Probably more of my interest in ballpark entertainment has been the PA announcers. So I've followed Chuck for a long time, and we've been connected on social media. Of course, his intense radio background. What other team can lay claim to having a PA announcer that's a former host on WSM and of the Grand Ole Opry? So I've followed him for a long time. I'm actually the organist at a big downtown church here in Abilene, and he apparently on social media had seen some of the clips and said, I bet if he can do that, he can play the organ for a baseball game. And it was a cold message to me, a Facebook message, in fact, out of the blue back in October that said, I would like for you to redo our organ library. And I thought someone was yanking my chain at first. Someone had hacked into something somewhere. But I sat in a daze here at the house the rest of the day till my wife came home from teaching and said, what's the matter with you? I said, I think Chuck Morgan just asked me to be the organist for the Rangers. I put that on the back burner until after the first of the year, and he called and said, no, we're serious. So I pulled this old Hammond out of storage and rebuilt it in 2 weeks. And as they say, the rest is history.
Okay, so I guess I hadn't noticed an organ there in the last couple days. Have you been there?
It's well, we had already planned at the very beginning. We're making some adjustments and trying to resume a tradition that we haven't had for 20 years. Marcia Rogers was actually the last official organist of the Rangers, and I believe she left in May of 01. And
yeah,
so
but when
since
are you
then,
gonna,
it's just been a
when are you going to be
a variety of sources recorded.
Uh-huh.
I hope to get to come to games once they start easing some of the MLB restrictions on staff. And as if I had to, I would come up there and stand in the corner just to be there. I've been to the ballpark twice. The most recent was back on June the 11th when I got to hear some of the tracks in person for the first time. And I'll tell you, that made me have to sit down. It was moving, very moving.
So will you guys work together, you and Grubbs? You will have to... you know, not play over him.
The entire he is handling all of that right now through his software. I'm basically, to quote Lane Staley, I'm the man in the box this season. And there's a lot of interest from a lot of places, a lot of fans, several of the staff at the ballpark, myself, that are very interested in bringing back a live organist to the ballpark. And if that ever happens, I will be that person.
Okay, so
but we're waiting on some last minute approvals and COVID turning everything upside down. So he's me right now. I'm recording and producing everything here with Nolan the Hammond, and that's going on to the cloud in multiple places, so he can have access to something I do within seconds.
Okay, so Grubbs, you will ask Dustin for some stuff, and you'll be able to play it. Is that how it's going?
For this season, yeah, he'd be able to record anything that I can think of and Dropbox it to me and have it to me within a few seconds. But dude, he's already recorded like 600 tracks for me. So Dustin's a machine, man.
Did you get Chaka Roan?
About 700.
Chaka Roan?
I don't have that one yet.
The old
not yet, but
okay, spitballing.
I've got
a software on my iPad where I can pull stuff up. And you were talking about perhaps some stuff relevant to other teams that are our opponents.
Other
yes,
teams.
We're trying to be tactful, but
other teams.
Look forward for another series in the future. You might get this. I'm sure you recognize that one. A little hinder, Jake. Lips of an angel for the Los Angeles Angels.
There you go, Jay.
Yeah.
So we're trying to be tactful, but we've got stuff in there.
Yeah, I knew it. Jay, I just wanted to see if Jake did. And he kind of
I was
failed.
Waiting on Grubbs.
Yeah, well, he clearly didn't know.
No, I'm the music guy.
Here's another one people might know.
Oh.
A little Texas, maybe. And
I totally knew
cool
what that
one.
Was. But
if you've
I was waiting
been
for
around,
Jake.
Sit for about the. If you've been around since we went to the World Series twice, and I'm not going to get too far into that, this kind of made a resurrection. And looking around for old Rangers music traditions, I kind of found this. And a guy named Bucky Nance, who's actually going to be coaching this year sometime, football. Brought this to my attention. Apparently, it made a bit of a resurgence during those playoff seasons on radio. You might know this one. I had to pull it out, transcribe it off of YouTube myself, and create my own lead sheet for it.
Jake, you know this one.
Yeah, this is a little classic.
Heard it a million times. Groove, you know that.
Everybody sing along.
Stands over there.
The ode to the Texas.
And then you have the other ending.
Another one.
Probably hasn't been heard at the ballpark in a very long time, and not by organ.
But
But you're bringing it back.
Too long.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We look
forward
to,
go now?
To check out your work.
Is that it?
I wanted to tell people how they can get requests and suggestions to me.
Okay,
How would...
So if you're adventurous enough to look forward at future home series and at rosters or just have a request you want to hear, we've gotten a lot of those already.
Okay, sure.
I'm on social media, Twitter at Tex Oregon Guy. That kind of goes along Chuck's Tex PA Man. Uh-huh. Tex Oregon Guy, just send me a tweet and we'll get that in there. Anything you want, if it's too tacky, it's probably not going to make it all the way to game day. But we'd
okay,
love
great.
To hear from you.
We'll get that handle out there and send Dustin your request. Thank you, Groobs. Thank you, Dustin.
We'll
talk to you guys soon.
we're not going to carry this over.
And there he goes,
yes.
Dustin the organist. Up next, let's review rookie of the year.
Charge!
Yes.
It's an absolute demolition derby of an interview. Every car in there is just smashed at the end of it.
All right, we're at the halfway point of our anniversary show, and we'll do the halftime show, which is actually the 1:30 news. Nothing can get rid of the 1:30 news. That's next.
When you're pee,
here's Jake with the 1:30 news.
Roar and Sons Brewing Company. Woo! Hey.
And Son.
Son. All right, let's start with the Alamo Draft House. Good friends of ours have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy due to the Pandy.
Oh, of course, no.
Austin-based company. Now,
greatest movie theater ever.
They tried to open their 6 North Texas locations back in August. Have we now... We've ruined the word back for me now.
Me too.
It's sorry. Like the most basic words in the English language. I can't...
I'm surprised how much people say it.
Back.
That's when you really notice, bottom and back.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to reopen 6 of their locations back in August, but ultimately they shut the doors again in October because of a lack of business. So those locations are still, the plan is to open them up.
The Dallas locations?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
They've just sort of been waiting out no big movie releases. They're going to try to keep the theaters in Lake Highlands.
Yeah, that seems to be a problem.
Yeah.
If you don't have the studio releasing a movie. Although the Alamo, they're the, they'll put Fast Times at Ridgemont High or old classics.
Or Over the Top. And that's why I kind of thought maybe they would be in a better position to navigate through this than your first release massive theater that only deals in that lane, but
then you need people.
Yeah, so they're closing a few locations, including their probably most iconic one in downtown Austin. But there's still hope that they'll be able to open the ones up here, which means there's still hope that we can get out and watch a movie with you all.
So this is procedural. They need to file for bankruptcy because of business.
I think it's because of
business. I only know that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But so they're still alive.
Yes.
All right.
We'll cross our fingers and hope that the DFW locations stick around and we can all get back out there and enjoy.
Back.
Zoolander.
Face off. Zoolander's got to be next.
Zoolander.
It was about a year ago. It was scheduled. It was going to happen. I remember sitting around with you guys talking about if we should do it or not because this was all beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That was a tough one.
That was quite a time.
I think we need to do Zoolander when we can.
All right. And this is going to be a fairly short news, but.
Yeah, Blake, how was your back timing?
Back timing?
Back. It's okay, but longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
So it wasn't okay.
So it's back to a top 10 now. Back.
So you, back. So you still, though, won't say that you did not do a great job?
Not yet.
Over, under.
He's already canceled one.
Okay, but now we have to update the book. Over under at the window right now is 9. What are you doing? Did we get to 9 bits? And he's already cut these down a ton.
I have to pick
segments,
over or under?
Yeah.
I think we'll be at 9.
Okay.
Because we're doing a top 10 usually every year. Blake said he had top 11.
because he wants to do one more than Jake would have done.
Big shot.
What's the step right to the yard?
And despite
make 10 a little bit louder.
But every meeting we had about this was, I mean, you telling him and me saying, you just got to worry of the timing, dude. You think you've got it.
Yeah. No, I've been editing segments during the show before, trying to get them on. But anyways.
Okay, sorry.
A quick story here.
News.
Yeah, you're stalling.
Today in Culture War.
I'm to blame.
Some people are real mad because a few Dr. Seuss books are not going to be printed anymore because they have racist images in them.
See, I saw this story and wondered, would people get mad? And I'm sure Twitter got mad because they get mad at everything. But it's the Dr. Seuss Foundation that was...
Yeah.
They kind of got ahead of it. They canceled Gay Not Gay.
Yeah.
They said, I don't know that these are great images we want out there. It was their choice. No one was canceling it from their schools, and therefore they're doing it. They're not the Redskins canceling their cheerleaders, right? They're the...
After a DVD with Pour Some Sugar on Me and some topless outtakes was circulated, then they canceled? No. This is them saying...
They're stepping ahead, saying, no, we don't think this is great.
Of the books we're going to keep putting out. There's just a few we don't think we should anymore.
Yeah, it's like 200 books, right?
And that's all we're saying, is that these few books that have racist depictions of Asian people and of black people will not be published anymore. That's it. That's all we're saying. And that immediately, of course, was met with...
cancel culture.
Fight the cancel culture war.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, how many people is that really met with?
You say it's just Twitter, and I know what you mean, because that's kind of the world that we're in for our media consumption. But I flew by the old Hannity last night, and he led with it.
Okay,
Fox News is very popular and watched by a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When we do a segment about a Twitter fight, all of a sudden, then, that makes it bigger.
Yeah.
Because if
you're right about that.
You know, so if he does this, he's doing the same thing. He's looking for content.
Yeah.
And he might, you know, we would do a thing where, you know, a couple of fans said, I think the Cowboys didn't do this right. And we'd be like, fans are saying... And then it becomes a bigger thing, and yeah,
that's
it all sucks. The world's
highly rated program.
Does the world just suck?
I just would continue to tell you that once a day I stop and think, man, my head hurts.
He'll make people think though that it's a bigger deal than it really is.
Yeah. And we're pretty into the Seuss catalog at the house.
Same.
And there's a couple drawings and images in them that I'm like, huh. That overrated. Feels a little bit like a depiction of someone who's definitely supposed to be a caricature of that race or ethnicity. But apparently these ones, from what I've seen, went a few steps further, and they just, as you said, got in front of it and said, we just don't want to put these out anymore. It's our business what we want to do with these books.
You think Seuss books are overrated? How about children's books in general?
I was never a big fan growing up.
Are you that great if you're a children's book author?
Probably not. And again, I have to tell you that the famous... The ones I love the most are... Here's six words or like two sentences on a famous person from the past, but they lie. So like basically they've got Amelia Earhart as a fighter pilot. And then it says something like, you know, with this woman, Hillary Clinton proved that women can lead. I'm like, well, they can also lose elections. Feels like the most important thing, footnote, whenever you mention Hillary Clinton will
so
be
Hillary's
she lost
in kids'
to Donald.
Books, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
You know, I've got this dumb little feminist books.
Yeah.
And some of them are, you know, you want your kid to know about civil rights leaders and scientists and whatnot. But I do cringe a little bit when we get to Hillary and I'm like yelling in the back, where are emails? You lost to a reality TV star. But I guess, yeah, she can lead. That's very vague, but...
Yeah. Do they get into the Monica thing in
not
the book?
Not really. No. No Paula, no Monica. Linda Tripp's not really in there. That'd be a better children's book series. Right?
Yeah. The blue dress.
Right. Linda Tripp. Linda Tripp proved that you can surreptitiously record somebody and get evidence for a trial. I don't know. Anyways, there's your 130 news.
Yay!
A cigar.
So I'm sure there are people out there trying to buy up these books right now that have been canceled. I'm going to plow right past that cigar thing.
What if they had a crypto book? Would you buy it?
Crypto cigar, maybe. All right, what's next, Blake, in our year one anniversary show?
This moment gave us the hardest I've ever seen Julie laugh.
All right, the Dan and Jake show started Feb 11, 2020. We became the Hang Zone Feb 11, 2021, and now we are getting around to reliving our favorite moments from our first year together, presented by Blake
Peck. So this Peck. Next selection Blake. Is what I teased. It's the hardest I've ever seen Julie laugh. This was back in October, and I have to give a tip of the cap to a Crowline caller who pointed this out to me, because in real time I didn't catch it. Dan tends to mispronounce things from time to time, or maybe he's doing a bit. He's just Dan, so I didn't really
Primus.
Talk about it. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, this caller pointed out something odd Dan said in a recent Why Today Doesn't Suck, and it gave us Plashley from October 23rd, 2020.
We have my boyfriend Steve is 36 years old today. Leaders are Dan and Jake.
Do you know what day this was?
From hot 46-year-old girlfriend Plashley.
It was yesterday.
All right.
Oh, I just now hearing this.
All right, now that I'm looking at
I didn't notice it for 2 seconds yesterday, and I don't think anyone else did either, but
okay, I want to do something here.
Okay. Oh, that's an interesting name.
Now that I look.
Okay.
Because what I do is cut and paste these so that I don't have to print off 17 of them
right.
a day anymore.
Uh-huh.
But I want you to read, just look at how it is written. Okay?
Oh, we can get close to each other now, I forget.
Yeah.
Why does she have a number in her name?
Ashley is lowercase.
Yeah.
There is no separation between the P1, but you're right, when I look at the name on the
yeah.
from, it's from Ashley.
And he has it in like 4-point font. So you can't really see the hook on the top of the one?
Like, take a look at that, but, I mean, and tell me that doesn't say...
Okay, but look, do you have zoom in enabled? You don't. But that's... I mean, you can see the thing at the top of the one. That's pretty clearly. And let's just start with the fact
But it was lowercase, and the P is uppercase.
It has a little...
Oh, goodness.
We have my boyfriend Steve is 36 years old today. Leaders are Dan and Jake. Would like to hear Jake brag from hot 46-year-old girlfriend... Plashley.
I mean, let's say that it does look like an L. Don't you stop and think?
Plashley.
The kids these days, you know?
That was normal.
46.
46-year-old kids these days.
46. You can't blame kids for that one. Named after an internet provider, maybe.
And I think, yeah, exactly. I think all of us were just so taken by the idea of a 35-year-old guy with a 46-year-old woman that we're like, ooh, that's cool, huh? Without even realizing that
you
had
down there.
Called her Plashley.
I thought he was doing a bit, like Platinum Ashley or something.
Plashley.
Wow.
Julie's just dancing on my mistakes today.
That was your
finally,
best
somebody
one
on
ever.
The show made a mistake.
That goes
it's
straight
not
into the Hall of Fame.
Plashley. Would you name your next daughter Plashley, Jake, in honor of P1 Ashley?
I've never seen Julie laugh this hard.
Listen to the way he says it, too. Plashley.
Plashley. You have to look at the email. It really Would it be wrong for me to put that email out in public?
Did you second guess it at all? Like, did you think about it at all after you said it? Like, maybe it's not Plashley.
I thought it was odd, but I do not judge people based on their names, unlike the other half of this room. Plashley.
No Plashleys in the whole world.
She's probably right.
Let's look that up.
That was amazing. And incredible.
All right. So... You ready for a coincidence here? That was a 2:30 segment. That was the first half of a 2:30 segment. The back half, Dan did an unboxing for something he had gotten in the mail.
he would unveil that he had received the book Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. Dan, can you spell McConaughey?
McConaughey.
That's probably biggest achievement of the year right there.
That's definitely an achievement. So you would get the book that day, and then about a month later, you would go on to interview Matthew McConaughey. But before we move on to that, I did want to play something really quick. In that segment, we had a Words with Dan that I didn't catch at the time. Let me play this quick WWD.
There it is! Whoa! Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. McConaughey.
I hold it up. Behold!
A biblical text, a religious text.
In my hand.
Look at that shot on the front.
The yet to be unread.
Yet to be read.
Green. It is currently unread.
Yeah.
I'm on the heater.
Let him keep talking today.
Yet to be unread.
Currently yet to be unread.
Yet to be read.
Yeah. Or unread, but not both.
I wish I was like you guys and never made a mistake.
So about a month later, from November 18th, Dan and Jake interview Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah.
Dallas, Dallas, are we live? We have photos and we have videos and audios. Thanks for waiting. I got into some stuff and, you know, I'd start a little leak on the 8 o'clock, led to a little leak on the 9 o'clock to the 10 to the 11, so I'm a little tardy, but here we are.
Well, we appreciate you doing this with us today.
My pleasure.
I'm Dan. This Hello, over Dan. Here is Jake.
Hello.
Hey, howdy.
And welcome to our little radio show in Dallas. I finished this just Sunday.
Yeah.
Love it, dude. Really, I don't want to make this a backhanded compliment, but I'm surprised at how much I love it. Just awesome. Because you do seem to be good at many things, and didn't know if writing would be one of those, but I just like the style. I like the quick hitty. I was telling Jake earlier, who doesn't like you nearly as much as I do, didn't read that book yet, but just the style. There's no 15 page story. It's all quick hits, and you got so much, but you pulled enough from each thing, I thought, to really make it move. The longest part was at the end. And by the end, I was pumped up. I also, Matthew, if, I don't know what I should call you. I'm fired up to see what the next 50 years brings for you, man. Great
book. I appreciate that. You know, I write it. I'm honored with it. I don't know how it's going to translate. I don't know how it's going to be received. And to go along this tour and hear in ways, like you just told me, ways that it translated and was not just only – oh, that's just a book about you, Matthew. Though it is very personal, that people going, here's what I got out of it. Or I laughed my ass off. Or you know what? I never thought of this. This was a little wisdom bomb you crossed that I'm taking with me in my pocket. That makes my heart swell. It makes me happy because that's the goal. I want to make art that's going to translate. So to hear it does makes me happy.
If we have a debate about what to cover in the next segment on the show, we spin a wheel. Here's the wheel.
All right. The McConaughey wheel.
We have a McConaughey
yes.
wheel.
Right. Yes.
Just and then we'll. Oh, it landed on three. We're going to. We'll
love
talk
it.
Cowboys today.
Should love it.
Cowboys, Longhorns, or Rangers. Go ahead and spin the. You know, that's what we do.
Got you.
It seems like a lot of that stuff that you have gotten done once you were able to be a little more choosy is a little dark. And to me, Rust Cole is the greatest character in the history of dramatic television. And I
greatest
wonder,
detective ever walked.
Yeah. And I wonder if you're the type of guy who, when you're playing someone who is like Rust, so nihilistic and his worldview, if that impacts you personally at all.
Sure. Well, look, every role, you know, and there's a misconception about acting out there. It's like you think it's all about playing someone else. No, you study that other character and you give what the page gives you. But every good actor is playing a part of themselves. You have to ultimately, by the time it gets to screen and it gets to the day where you're actually shooting the scene, it needs to be deeply personal to where I look at it like an old 70s equalizer. You know, Rustin Cole, An Island of a Man, those philosophies, that agnostic sort of nihilistic guy. We all got that in us. I've got it in me. I just raised the volume. I raised the HKZ on that myself. And then this part over here, which is, you know, good time or, hey, let it slide, or believer. No, I'm just lower that down on me. So every character is a version of some part of humanity that every actor who's worth the salt needs to find that part of themselves and really portray that and emulate that.
I think some of that is shown by the fact that, as you highlight in the book, many of your most iconic lines were not written by someone else.
Yeah.
And it all, I seriously got chills after reading the part about Dazed, which seems weird because that's not your most serious work, but just about going on set and you actually came up with, let's say, the line to the redhead.
Yeah. So you want to hear that story?
Sure.
I read it, though, but it's worth sharing. It's a good
one. Oh, it's great. Yeah, I had never heard it before.
Yeah, so I get the role of David Wooderson, Dazed and Confused. I was in the bright bar right time, introduced myself to the right guy, get called in, three lines, I get it, three lines turn into 3 weeks' work. But before the three lines turn into 3 weeks' work, I show up on set to do what's called a hair makeup test on the set of Dazed and Confused. I am not scheduled to work that day. It's just me show up, do hair makeup. Richard Linklater, the director, will leave the set when he's clear to come over and look at me and go, yeah, change this, do this, die like this, etc. On this so said night, outside the Top Notch drive-in, I come out of the trailer, hair and makeup. Richard comes up. Oh, this is great. Yeah, well, I like that. This is Wooderson. Yeah, it's great. Super. I'm about to leave, about to shake his hand and leave. And he goes, hey, wait a minute. He goes, you know, Wooderson's probably the type of guy who's been with the typical hot chicks at school. You know, do you think he'd have interest in the redheaded intellectual? I'm like, sure, man. Wooderson likes all kinds of chicks. He's like, well, Marissa Ribisi's playing the redheaded intellectual over here. She's sitting in her car. She's got the nerds in the back seat. Maybe Wooderson, you know, pulls up and tries to pick her up. I'm like, yeah, sure. Give me 30 minutes. I take a walk, go through my head. Who is my man? Who's Wooderson? Who's Wooderson? Next thing I know, I'm sitting in the car. I've got a lavalier mic on me. The place is lit. I'm in the parking lot of the Top Notch about to shoot my very first scene to go pick up the Cynthia character. And there's not a line written. So I start to think about who is my man, Wooderson. And in my head, I start saying, okay, Wooderson is about his car. I tell myself, all right, I'm in my 70 Chevelle. There's one. I said, Wooderson's about getting high. I said, well, Slater's riding shotgun. He's always got a doobie rolled up. There's two. I said, I'm about rock and roll. I said, I got Ted Nugent's Stranglehold in the 8-track right now. There's three. And then I hear, action. And I look up, and in my head, I said, Wooderson's about picking up chicks. I got 3 out of 4. Put it in drive. Pull out. I'm going to get the fourth. All right, all right, all right. So those were three affirmations of the three things my character did have while he was going to get the fourth. And, yeah, then that scene was pretty much improvised. And then Rick kept inviting me back, you know, to the set and would throw me in the middle of scenes. And that cast would lob me lines and ask me questions in the middle of scenes. And I would just kind of answer like Wooderson would.
And same with Keep on Living on the football field at the end?
Yeah, that was actually 5 days after my dad passed away, 5 days into shooting Dazed and Confused. So I rushed back home to Houston. I'm there for 4 days. We do the Irish wake and everything. I come back. My family says, get back to work. That's what Dad wants you to do. I go back. There's that scene on the football field at the end of the movie. Well, about sundown that night before we had started shooting, Richard Linklater, the director, and I were walking around on our own, just chatting man to man, buddy to buddy. And he's asking, what do you think it's all about? You know? And I was like, well, my dad moved on. He's physically gone. But how can I keep him spiritually alive in me? Yeah. Can I, he's just got to just keep living spiritually in me. Well, I just said it out loud because it had kind of come to me and it was about my father's death. Well, that night on the football field when Randall Pink Floyd's going, do I sign the drug policy or not? Do I play? And I go, well, you can do whatever you want to do. You just got to keep living, man. LIVIN. And I just threw it into the scene and it stuck and became sort of a one-liner that I've tried to apply to almost everything in my life where I can. And it hasn't not worked yet. I don't know where it doesn't apply.
Amazing that those two things that you came up with on your first job have stuck with you all these years. And I'm going to make people have to buy the book to get the story on why there's no G.
Why there's no G, baby. There's definitely no G on purpose.
I want to play one more brief piece of audio for you here. This is from an interview that actually occurred on our station. So I'm going to play this for you, and you tell me
Matthew McConaughey. Do you recognize this?
Somebody don't think so. Somebody knows so.
Oh yes.
He kept going. Somebody don't think so.
Do you know who?
Who is that? Right, he's somebody from the 2005 University of Texas Longhorn National.
That is correct. At the time, backup quarterback Colt McCoy, who was telling that story about the speech in the locker room before they headed out to the
school. Somebody don't think so. Somebody knows so. Yeah, I remember that. It was, you know, you got a national, that confident team, that team going into a national championship and towards the end of that season. You know, they don't need a booster of, come on, guys. They don't need the pump-up speech, right? It's like, let's get something. I thought they need something lyrical that they can get behind that is about just straight ownership of who they are, that's affirmative, moving forward with great confidence. And so that little riff came to me one night before I went to practice. And I said, that's what, just go in there and get them going on that. And so I started singing that practice, and they started chiming in. Of course, every time I talk to them, I'm like, what the hell is he going on about that? And then I got them, they all got in tune. And then there in Pasadena, we all sang it again before that game.
So as I told you, you portrayed my favorite TV character of all time in Rustin Cole. You're also right about not putting the ketchup on the sandwich, but putting it on the side and dipping it. But you're also in my favorite comedy of all time. Legendary movie, all-star cast. You've got to tell me.
Tropic Thunder.
Was Tropic Thunder the most fun you've ever had making a movie?
So much fun. We were in Kauai because our director had a house there. I go over. I'm already jumping in with all those that are in the main cast, right? And Downey Jr.'s doing his thing. Jack Black's doing his thing. Everyone's going off. Every scene, the whole crew's laughing their ass off everywhere. And I hop in this smaller role and have a good time and attack it. And it's, you know, the ceiling for comedy and insanity was very high. So I went for it. And then I got called back. We shot the stuff with Tom Cruise's character at the end about the G5G nickel. That was a reshoot. We added that in later. So we came back and added that part in. That was a whole hell of a lot of fun. Man, that movie is one of those, you can put it on anywhere in the movie at any time and it holds up all the way out.
Yeah, it's
we really appreciate your time. We wanted to ask for one more thing. If indeed you would be able to give it, I think you'll be able, but you'd be willing to give it to us. This is our wacky radio liner where we would like you to identify yourself and then say something like this.
Hey, this is McConaughey, and I got to tell you, I never listen to Dan and Jake on the Tick.
A big year. Not only Dustin, the Oregon guy, and Dirk, but also McConaughey. Coming up next, the show's now called The Hang Zone, but once upon a time, appearing with Cleveland Radio, Dan had another proposed name for the show. That's next.
This
is After 2. It's Dan and Jake. And, of course, Blake, who's here at the den with us today. Back at the studio is Julie, our Julie and Mino. And we're going to go back to Blake, who's wearing his Tiger Sunday red. And who has, how do you feel about the back timing for your top 11?
Yeah, we're down to 9.
See?
Yeah, this is
tough cutting this up.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get to this next one. This is a
top 9 of the year.
Top 9.
You just want to do things different.
For now. For
this,
now.
This selection, yeah.
Could
might
be 8, you're saying?
Hey, this could be, it could turn into Kobe. You never know.
Ooh.
Top 8.
Honor the mom.
Yeah, I wish we knew.
This selection of audio that did originate on The Ticket. During the first week of July, a Cleveland radio show wanted Dan on to talk Dak. But the train gets off the track somewhere along the way, and it turns into one of the hosts not really knowing how to handle Dan. So, Dan, you were on with Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima because you have a past relationship with Anthony. You knew him from your Cleveland days, I think. And Anthony knows your bit. Ken does not, and it leads to some great interactions. So we begin where the interview seems to head off the rails. Here is Dan on Cleveland Radio.
Jared Goff signed his big deal. Carson Wentz signed his big deal. And then now that Mahomes has signed a deal, you know, it just keeps going up and up. So they've way missed the boat on this one.
Dan McDowell joining us on the show from 96.7 The Ticket.
Hello, Cleveland.
Hi, yes, Dan McDowell joining us.
What is going on here? What is going on? Stop messing with us, Dan. What the hell is going on? What is happening here?
I'm on the air in Cleveland. It's great.
I am getting tweets all over the place. Do I even, Lyman, ask questions? I don't know what to do.
Well, what I want
to
know is
you don't know what to do. Let's talk sports. What are you guys doing? Are you guys broadcasting in the same room?
No,
dude.
Boy, he went nuts on that one.
Hello, Cleveland.
What's happening right now? I'm getting tweets everywhere. Who
okay,
knows?
This next part here, they had one final. It was final questions time because
hey,
I had questions for them.
I got about 60 seconds.
So I had a question about the Cheesecake Factory. They dumped me. And then I thought I'd ask them something about that we would relate to.
Because for 20 years here in Dallas, I did a show with a guy named Bob. And so we were Bob and Dan,
okay.
And we called it Bad Radio.
All right.
And now we've shifted our lineup, and Bob has moved to a different time slot.
Okay.
And I'm working with a guy named Jake, but we're still calling it Bad Radio.
All right.
But it was built on an acronym, Bob and Dan.
Okay.
And Ken, you know, who you have done some shifting yourself, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you start with...
I started with a person I can't really talk about right now, yeah.
and then now here's Anthony. So just the show name. I've had the same show name for 20 years, but I wonder if it doesn't feel right with the acronym. Should we change the show name?
Call it Dadge.
Dadge?
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Well, it's a good thing my name isn't Victor.
We'll see you, Dan. We'll see you. Goodbye. What the hell was that, Anthony? What the hell was that? What the hell was that? Explain this.
I don't know if I can.
Coming up next, Chad Dukes will join us. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima. Live on the...
You're the funniest person
Family
they've ever met.
Boy. Perfect Power Watch and Perfect Power Watch. Fred's Ken Carmen here for Perfect Power Watch and PerfectPowerWatch.com. Listen, 888-860-WASH. That's 888-860-WASH. You want to make sure your home is...
You live spotted him.
You know what you need to do? If you start up Air Farce One, they would be your first client because they think you're hilarious.
Yeah. No, you're killing it.
Do they? That's the question I have because... So I kept rolling. I was rolling, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Always record.
And I thought, well, let's... what was their reaction to me when they came out of the next break?
Oh.
That's some sports music, bro.
Rock it.
It's Pharrell.
Well, there's no third direction. People either loved or hated that interview. There's no third direction, Anthony.
I had some people going, this is one of the worst you've ever had. And then immediately I had two people say, you need to do a weekly segment with him. That was hilarious. Bob and Broadview. I don't know if you guys set that up, but I have not laughed that hard at a sports talk radio show maybe ever.
I swear to God, I was just as thrown off as anybody else. So we'll see if we can follow that up. Chad Dukes joins us on the show. I can make things awkward. Chad Dukes joins us on the show.
All right. So Chad Dukes, then...
You're fairly used to that reaction, though, right?
What?
Eh, not a lot of middle ground here.
Can Chad Dukes bring the fire also?
They appeared to be friends. Like, they were old friends. They worked together or something like that. And then they actually were resetting things out of the following break as well.
Back in the fan. Chad Dukes was great. Dan, well, I'll tell you what, it depends on who you ask. Dan McDowell was either great or the worst interview you've ever heard in the history of radio.
So bad.
But Lima? See, that's very Andy Kaufman-like, right?
Yeah.
People either loved him or hated him. People either thought he was hilarious or the biggest hack of all time.
Until he died. Yeah, but when he died, then he became a legend.
So like if Dan McDowell dies
no.
today.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. Shut up. Now, you guys ought to host a show together and just call it awkward.
I threw it out to Chad Dukes, by the way. Can you drive stick?
Okay.
Before you move on.
I'd love to rip on that, hot. But from the makers of How Do You Bathe Your Dog, I'm not sure I can.
And then they actually gave me one final mention when they ended their show at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Masters would be.
Ken, they introduced Tiger Woods yesterday and not a clap. I mean, that's just craziness to me. Yeah. It's so.
By the way, there's something in here, too, we're going to steal.
Surreal.
Yeah. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Dan McDowell, I mean, you either loved him or you hate him, so I'm going to thank him. I thought that was, the end was funny. I was a bit confused, but certainly I laughed at the end. Chad Dukes was wonderful as always. Chad's one of the best. Follow him on Twitter at Chad Dukes. We're back Monday morning, 6 to 10. And by the way, clip that answer Chad gave about the helmet, because I know old goofball over there is going to be wanting to talk about it. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Kenny, for the slippery wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful Tall Boy Friday, my friends.
Oh, absolutely. Nice.
Whiskey,
yes.
Beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Got on the
way
show.
There we go.
Yeah, we'll be appropriating that.
Tall Boy Friday, bro.
With Supreme Lending.
Let's do Tall Boy Friday.
I was just distracted by the Silence of the Lambs Buffalo Bill music.
Yeah, it's a weird outro to go right into Tall Boy Friday.
It's Tall Boy Friday, bro.
Let's do it. Hey, listen, though.
It's Victor and Jake.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So there you go. There's.
Congratulations.
Got to go back to my hometown and do a concert.
Hello, Cleveland.
Yeah. That's some hardcore sports music they use coming out of them breaks, man. Got to step up your game, Mino.
Up next, Chad Dukes. Pull that answer about the helmets.
Oh, that was gold. All right, so that's one of our top, what we learn are nine moments now. We started off with the top 11. How many are next, Blake?
Let's hope for two. Two guests on our phone line. One might be a Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Blake put together a top 11 of our first year together. And the final one is about to be played. And the final one is actually number
8. For Kobe.
You're lucky. You're so lucky he died.
The year of the
life's too short to bet the under, but...
Yeah.
But the under's the play.
Hey! That's the kind of thing that happens.
You know, you guys have just given us too much gold throughout the past year. That's really what it is. So let's end with, I think, our best bit of 2020/2021. And it's one of our more recent, more prominent guests we've had. And we typically don't open up the phone lines when we have a guest. But when you have a real-life touchdown brother on the show, you got to go to the phones. And you might hear a few voices you recognize. So from January 14th and February 23rd, here's Angelo Cataldi with some Ticket Friends.
All right, let's take a call or two. We have Angelo Cataldi. He's from WIP in Philly. And we'll start out with Murr. Murr, you're on Sports Radio 96.7, The Ticket.
Hey, Angelo, how you doing, man?
Hi, Murr. How's everything in Dallas?
Oh, it's great. Not as great as when I used to live up in Delaware. My dad introduced me to you a long, long time ago. And I've been, since I moved to Texas, I got to tell you, I listen to these Yahoos, and they're more interested in Kapler's abs than just being able to hit the cutoff, man. Can you tell these guys why he didn't work with our Phillies?
Oh, Kapler? Well, Kapler, he didn't tell the truth. In Philadelphia, what makes it different is, you know, you get a lot of BS from coaches all the time. But he would come on. There was a play where Andrew McCutchen blew out his ACL because Gene Segura didn't run hard to first base. And I said to him, is there going to be any punishment for Segura? Because he really hurt your team this year by not running hard. And he said, Segura ran hard. I don't know what you're talking about. And I said to Gabe, the game was on TV. It was replayed. He didn't run hard. And he wouldn't acknowledge things that were obvious. he basically announced to Philadelphia, I'm going to lie to you. You lived here. You lived in the area, Murr. You don't do that here. If you do that here, you're not going to be here long. It doesn't work. We'll get rid of you. We'll find a way to run you out of town. And that's what happened with Gabe.
He was never Balboa enough to work, guys. See
all right.
Maybe arm.
Thank you, Murr. We have maybe time for one more. Sal, you are on Sports Radio 96.7, The Ticket.
Hey, how are you guys doing this today?
Hello, Sal.
Angelo's, it's an honor to talk to you. I grew up listening to you, Philly transplants here. And I got to tell you, it's hell living in Dallas. I'm from South Philly, and I got to listen to these homers talk about how great Jerry Jones is. Hey, at least the Eagles have won the Super Bowl in the Ben Simmons lifetime, right? Right.
Yeah, we've had fun with that. But I got to tell you the truth, Sal. The rivalry with the Cowboys is my favorite thing. It's just so great. Yeah. Twice a year, we just say all this stupid stuff back and forth, and it's terrific. And we used to come down there, you know, years ago, Sal. We used to come down every week. We used to do a morning show live with Norm Hitchkiss. Boy, I'll tell you, you guys are pretty rude, too. We got rough treatment when we were down there, I could tell you. But it's great. This is what I love about sports, because it's not important. It's just a bunch of goofy people having some fun. And it's great. The rivalry is awesome. And, you know, deep down underneath it all, I kind of like the Cowboys, at least in the context that they give us a foil. They are a foil for the Eagles, and we can have fun with that back and forth.
Yeah, I get personally, as I get tired of listening about Jalen Smiths and Hunter Nyswanders and all that, because that's all these guys here talks about. But I got a question for you. What is the likelihoods that we can get the great Dick Vermeils back as head coach, and maybe even to fix that quarterback's positions, maybe we even slides the captains himself, Jason Kelce, to the QB position to fix that mess? What do you think, Angelos?
Well, here's the thing. Dick Vermeil is 84, and he still comes on our show every week during the football season, just so I could talk to someone young, who is actually older than me. So he is not going back into coaching it. Jason Kelce is not going to ever be a quarterback because he's 280 pounds. But you know what? We don't care anyway. There's only one quarterback for the Eagles, and that is Carson Wentz. And if you think otherwise, you are not qualified to be the next head coach of that team.
Or Jaws. What about Jaws?
Jaws is 60 now.
Yeah.
Jaws is 60 now, fellas. And he also, I believe, would like there to be a competition between Hurts and Wentz. Therefore, he is not eligible.
Take one more. We have Michael in Valley Ranch. Michael, you're on with Angela Cataldi.
Let me tell you why people in Dallas are so tired of people in Philadelphia. All you do is rip. You just rip people. Doug Peterson's a good man. You know why he's not there? Because people like you, Angela, rip him every day. That's why he's not there. That's why he left. And that's why Carson Wentz wanted out of there, because he is tired of hearing it every... How much football did you play, Angelo?
Oh, I didn't play any football at all. I played
That's what I thought. And, man, that's what you do. And you go on and you act like you played in the league or something.
Well,
you just rip. That's all you do is rip. It's not good for the league. It's not good for the Shield. It's not good for the league.
All right,
and cheesesteak sandwiches are overrated, too.
Whoa.
let me just say.
That's the worst medicine anyone could ever put in their mouth is a cheesesteak.
All right, thank you very much. If I had a button, I would have hit it by now. But let me just say, everything he said is 100% true, and I have done nothing for 31 years but rip people. But I lasted 31 years doing it. Would you stop it if they kept paying you? It's the way I look at it. They keep paying me. I keep showing up and ripping people. Seems like a good plan.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're the best, Angelo. We appreciate you doing this again. Maybe we can circle back around football season, make some predictions or something.
Sounds like fun, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate the invitation.
Thank you.
Take care.
There he goes. WIP in Philadelphia's Angelo Cataldi. Well, there's our top 11, 10, 9, 8
so,
for the season, or for the first year.
So we started with the top 11, and we ended up playing 8. And it wasn't your fault at all. It was totally me, because I was talking. But
sound like one of them girl problems.
What hit the cutting room floor? What three did we not hear? I want to know.
So I had paired with Dustin Tatro.
Now you're giving me a lot of information.
Well, he's got a lot of time left because we're not playing.
Yeah, we got a few minutes.
Okay, I just wanted to know what three, but now he's telling me a big story about all of the...
Well, it's actually an interesting story. Our Oregon guy promos that we made, I thought were really funny. Jake made one about him hosting a show on The Ticket.
Yeah, it was fun.
You had dueling banjos with Killer's Long Story, which is really funny as well.
Killed that one, dude.
Yeah. I'm not remembering any of those.
That's great.
Your COVID press conference, after you announced to the world that you guys had COVID and had a few of the leering press available for questions.
I do remember that one.
That was pretty good.
That was a lot of me.
Cold calling Quincy back in March.
Well, there's no reason those things can't be played on another day, Blake.
Quincy!
Listen, in school, if you get a 70 or above, that's technically passing. And you played 72% of the audio that you set out to play today. So I guess in typical noon to three fashion, we're passing? Sure. It's 247.
First time ever we didn't play all 10, though, right?
You know, I think I had 100% hit rate on getting all 10 of them in there. But he came in hot.
But you weren't here to say that.
He came in hot.
Wearing the Tiger...
It's red.
Tiger red Sunday. And
Mamba mentality.
I'm shooting for 11. So maybe next year, plan 16.
then you could possibly hit 10.
It's a play-in game.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's 10 till 3. This is the ticket.
Once again, the Hang Zone presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All I want for my birthday is a big booty hoe. All I want for my birthday is a big booty hoe.
And now, here are your hosts, Jake Kemp and Dan McDowell. Jake Kemp.
Thank you to Eatsies for anniversary birthday show food.
Breakfast.
We could have cake for breakfast.
Blake didn't even eat.
He was too nervous.
Yeah. I don't need to eat all those carbs in front of you.
Well, one last time here from your home for baseball spring training rule change talk. Here's David Mino.
Thank you, Jake. Eatsies and Tito's Handmade Vodka brings you Dano and the Texas Rangers, who have a 1-0 lead.
Now, you said you didn't eat because you don't like eating in front of people.
I don't like that. I move my Zoom thing whenever I'm eating for the most part. I don't want all the homies seeing me chow down. I don't like people seeing me.
Yeah, I generally kind of just turn.
You'll notice I kind of hide over here.
Still, he didn't eat all day. They brought him some piping hot fresh food from Eatsies.
Chef crafted?
Oh, yeah.
For the taking.
From a real culinary trained chef, not just some...
Not some...
Chef that operates out of the back of his van.
Training by mail.
Blake? Here's the hard line. Bob, Corby, Danny.
Hey, Bobby. No. Bobby. Bobby.
I ordered the...
Corby will be here.
The chicken fried steak, the mashed potatoes, and macaroni and cheese.
Oh, wow. He's cutting weight.
Yeah.
Bro down.
Two starches.
Or is this a replay?
He's eating for two. Well, today is Wednesday, March 3rd, the sickie.
Uh-oh, the sickie.
The 62nd day of 2021. 303 days are left in the year.
So Jimmy Herget goes out there and throws a clean inning.
Shut up.
And...
Yesterday, we missed a birthday. It's my fault, for sure. They now send me two birthday lists from Cumulus. One is full-time list, one is part-time. I don't know why, but we are definitely separating those. And I didn't see the part-time list. The birthday was Engineer Cooper Wise.
Koopa Loop.
Good dude.
I believe.
Best
oh,
one.
Now we're on the air, and Blake's like, good dude. You should have heard him off the air. But Mino loves this guy. Of all the engineers, I believe he listed him as the best.
He was not the engineer that was once dubbed Engineer of the Year.
Who was that?
You have to ask Danny.
By Engineer Magazine.
Tony,
you
won
don't
MVP
want to be
of,
Engineer of the Year.
Yeah, it was a particularly rough hardline remote.
Oh, was that a sarcastic award?
Well, depends on how you look at it.
Tony won MVP of Campout once. Campound.
He did. Now, I don't know that that provided him much solace, given the, what he had to drive home to after that campound.
Oh.
He just...
The dry
got
well.
some issues.
Golf is sacred.
That Tony won the MVP of that. Did you see his little head shake?
Yeah.
Like, he does not like any other engineer getting any pub at all.
You remember whenever I was texting you about crab mentality, Bob? That's how the engineers function.
Yeah.
Anybody starts to get anywhere close to out of the bucket, the others will pull them back down into the bucket.
Tell me about crab mentality.
It's basically like, if I can't have it, then you can't have it.
Yeah. Crabs are not a friendly...
We're not actually happy for our fellow crabs to make it. We want to pull them back down.
Now, to be fair, I've never seen this happen. I just know that it's a psychological or psychology term that when you see someone from like your neighborhood starting to do well, let's make sure that you don't have more than me. And that's kind of how the engineer room works.
I wonder how the octopus treats each other. I bet they would help each other out.
What if they're fighting over their human bow? B-E-A-U.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and see, I heard you guys talking about my octopus teacher.
Did I misunderstand you somehow?
I think we all...
Like, you turned it into, like, an episode of The Bachelor or something.
I think from noon to three, we all thought... it seems like this guy was romantically in love with this octopus.
Gosh, you guys are sick.
He absolutely had some kind of thoughts about that.
Yeah.
No, he did not.
Like when he was with his wife, he thought about the octopus.
That's insane.
Watch it again. With that lens.
Well, yeah. Like, you guys were so excited when you found out somebody tried to marry the Eiffel Tower that there's no question you would apply this to marine life, but there's just nothing there. You're seeing something that's not there.
Well, You're so naive, man. It's so great to see this.
What was that
somebody
called?
It's a documentary about a man and his octopus.
Okay, and, the boy and his dragon. Just about.
What was that thing called? Was it Objectum Sexuality?
That's not in this.
I know, but you brought up the guy who tried to marry the
marrying a VW
or
Beetle or whatever they were doing.
So on
but
this
then
day,
then it wouldn't cook or do the dishes, and then it all fell apart.
Slapping it around.
On this day in 1931, President Herbert Hoover signed a congressional resolution making the Star Spangled Banner the national anthem of the United States.
I think we should use Toby Keith's song.
Because we'll put a boot in your ass.
Well, apparently, a president can make that happen.
Where are your homies, Bob?
They're, assembling.
On this day in 1960, Lucille Ball filed for divorce from Desi Arnaz, her husband, one day after they had finished filming the last episode of their show.
That's awesome.
So right the very next day, she's out. On this day in 1990, Hakeem Olajuwon became the third player in NBA history to achieve a quadruple-double. 29 points, 18 rebounds, 10 assists, 11 blocks.
Dude.
And on this day in 1991, motorist Rodney King.
Oh, no.
Severely beaten by LA police officers in a scene captured on amateur video.
I hope it's a cramp.
Who had a camera that size back then?
one guy.
You all right over there?
Oh, my chair screwed up.
Donovan again.
A lot of P1 birthdays today.
I got caught scoring the Ranger game. I'm sorry.
Dude, they pulled Hergit.
When you get a chance to see Hunter Wood ply his craft.
Well, there's two names you could have gotten.
Hunter.
You guys want to join us for a Texas Ranger or fill-in-the-blank show-off?
Or Colombian Miner?
Texas Ranger or best-selling author?
Go ahead.
Or part-time engineer?
Beat them when they're down.
Who was in the last ticker?
Steel Walker.
Awesome name.
That's not a soap opera lead.
Or oh my wrestler. God! Have you heard the rodeo commercial we're running? The names that they're promoting, like for real, it's like Stetson Wolf and
Stetson Hat,
Sagebrush. Yeah, it's crazy.
Colt 45.
Yeah.
P1 birthdays. Don Pickerel said, and Herschel Walker, three most important people born on the 3rd. My leader is. Oh, come on. I can't read that. Okay. My desire to jump off the nearest convenient overpass anytime Brian Jones or Peter King is on. That's jeez. Don Pickerel. Sup, Hang Zone. It's the 24th birthday of the girl whose name is tattooed on my arm. Her leader is the vape pen Casey Dingus dropped in the back seat.
That is so presumptuous, by the way. 24-year-old getting the tattoo of the girl. That'll fail.
You predict failure for...
Yeah, I do.
Actually, so John, P1 John, never gave me her name. But so if you date somebody named Jonathan Snow, and you're 24 today, and your name is tattooed on his arm...
It's probably Kayla.
Maybe it's Plashley.
He didn't even really say they were dating. He just said it's the 24th birthday of the woman whose name is tattooed on
yeah,
my body.
Yeah, maybe he's a stalker.
Plashley.
I did never heard that in its entirety until today.
It's brilliant,
57-year-old.
Isn't it?
It really is.
Maybe he's 4 years old and he has his mom tattooed on his arm.
57-year-old Phil, the Hollywood P1.
Oh, wow.
Does his Tesla play farts?
Great dude. He'd like to hear Mike Reiner stammering with Dan yelling, I don't want audio at the end.
That Firefest is making it tough for the entire...
Phil says I would CC Jake, but big corporation Cumulus can no longer afford to put his email on the site.
Ooh.
Is that not on the Cumulus website? Check theticket.com. Blake, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, Blake.
I'll send Blake 10 emails and I can only get to 8 of them.
Ooh.
That is Phil. Good dude. Hollywood P1. My husband Matt is 29. He's excited about not wearing masks, so hopefully he can see UNT play in the conference tournament.
Oh, that's what we're all looking for.
He'd like to hear 50 Shades from George. Pick attached from Cameron Berryman. It is the 23rd birthday of my beautiful girlfriend, Kiara Aceves.
Right.
Leaders are Corby Sideyard and Julie's wine addiction. And the 23rd birthday of my, or 21st birthday of my little brother, Joey Flores.
Oh, Joey.
Vincent Flores.
If you ever had a son, Jake, could you ever name him Joey after all this?
No.
Couldn't either.
Nick Luke Hart. My leaders are Line 4 Guy and the Trim Amendments. Okay.
Boy, the ticket is learning some very exciting things about Steel Walker.
Seems a little old to still be at high A, you know? How does that project?
Steel Walker.
Well, Jet.
We have this information, Dan, if you're interested. Attended Prosper High School and played at the University of Oklahoma.
What trade was that?
Local boy made good.
Before being acquired for Nomar Mazara.
There you go.
Nomar.
I think we got our signals crossed.
Nomar.
That's a can't-miss prospect right there, Nomar.
Also played for the Wisconsin Woodchucks. which, you know, probably a pretty cool logo.
Russell Jones, his son Jet, leaders are Plashley and Jake's Merkinbeard. We have my cousin Lee Robbie is 44. Leader is Bob's Underpants from Scott Little. And we have the 28th birthday of my best friend and fellow P1, Dylan Tucker.
Dill.
Hey, his leaders.
Dill.
His leader is the pry bar and axe used to retrieve Tiger from the shell of the vehicle.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, got the job done.
That's from John Harrelson. He'd like to hear a joke off between Dutch and Line 4 guy. What do you think? Is that available? I don't even know if Dutch is with us.
I'm here, Dan. I can go first. If that's okay with that caller, man, I'll go first. Man and his wife go to a bull auction. They're going to try to buy some cattle. Go up to the first pen. The handler says, this bull made it 50 times last year. Wife said, well, that's almost once a week. Go to the next pen. This one made it 150 times last year. Wife ribs at her husband. Well, that's several times a week. You could learn a lot from these bulls. Go to the third pen. This bull made it 365 times last year. Wife turns and says, wow, you need to start taking after some of these bulls. Man finally responds, yeah, but they aren't having sex with the same cow like I am.
You see, because his wife's a big fat cow.
That's mean.
Oh,
well,
man.
I don't know how I'm going to one up that, but little Johnny has something to say about it.
He's going to try.
Oh, boy.
The teacher was asking the end of the day question that she asks every Friday. If one of the students get it right, they don't have to come to school on Monday. Little Johnny was determined to get the answer correctly. So he painted two black marbles and rolled them to the teacher's feet. All of a sudden, she shouted out, who's the comedian with the black balls? Johnny shouted out, Bill Cosby, see you on Tuesday, suckers.
From the Northeast.
Oh, and he walked out, right? L4G just walked out.
Walked right on out of their court.
Right, throwing the paper up in the air.
Pow, pow!
Elsewhere in birthday news, Herschel Walker, 59.
Oh, wait. CPAC, right?
What's that mean?
I think he spoke at
CPAC. Did he appear at
CPAC?
Maybe
he was at the RNC, maybe.
He was definitely at the RNC. Yeah.
Jamie Newberg is 52.
Wow.
Is he ever a Ranger?
DFW Sports Royalty on March 3rd.
Is that the biggest birthday guest to show over book for you? Because that did happen, right?
We had
it did, but I'm not going to put down Jamie Newberg.
I'm not
like
putting
you're
it down.
Attempting
I'm asking
to do.
You.
I'm a huge fan.
Is this bigger than Craig Elo?
Stefan Robota, 44.
Wow, Robota. What a good dude. I hope life is treating him well.
Here's a birthday guest.
Is that the Stefan from Saturday Night Live?
No.
Oh. Neil Heaton, 61.
He was not previewing all the hot clubs.
Neil Heaton is 61.
Got nervous? Not a chance to talk to Neil Heaton?
No, I had a chance to talk to Mel Hall.
Oh.
And remember, kids should avoid talking to Mel Hall.
If you want to bark like a dog, I mean...
Yeah, bark like a dog.
You go ahead. You're not getting paid for it, I'll tell you that.
Because you asked him if he had added anything to his repertoire.
I prepared for that question for a long time. And while sitting on hold, I thought, this will probably change the direction of their show. I'm coming up with this question.
Maybe I'll become like a consultant.
I often think that, Dan.
Can you play it, Mino, or do I got to find it?
I'll look.
Let's see here.
Jeez. Oh, boy.
Said with great disdain.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Old man.
Mino's a little pissed today. Just the whole Ranger thing. He's pissed.
I'm distracted.
After he found out this 20 pitch rule for relief pitchers in spring training.
What are they doing?
They're making a mockery out of our game.
It's just absurd.
It's a great game.
Might as well trample a flag.
Jeez.
Michael Thomas is 28.
Is today's game going to be six innings or seven?
Errol Spence Jr. is 31.
Remember whenever he was like driving 200 miles an hour and flew through the air and then
like downtown, right? That was downtown. Like flew out of his own moon roof or whatever.
And then you just kind of never.
Well, I mean,
make Dutch there.
He didn't die, so what more do you want to hear?
Camp Spam.
Camp Spam.
Well, was he arrested?
I don't know.
Camp Spam.
Is Tiger arrested?
Not yet.
Ooh. Not yet.
Hockey player Alexander Semin is 37.
Semin. The ticket is also learning that Steele Walker, college teammate of Kyler Murray at OU in the baseball game.
Brilliant. Oh.
Now you're interested.
I'm going to root for him.
Hey, Corby.
Yeah.
Tone Loke, 55.
Oh, our dear, dear friend.
Very good friend.
Yeah. Probably my best friend in the rap game. Well, no, it'd probably, be Kid.
Has Kid ever handed you, or have you ever handed Kid any ketchup?
No. No, but I have Tone Loke.
Asked us.
Has Tone Loke ever relieved himself in the bathtub thinking it was the toilet?
See, they each have their quality points.
Right, hits and misses for both. But
here, let me point you over here. This is the toilet this way.
Yeah, borrow that ketchup.
Yeah, when you hear the distinctive tones of,
may I borrow your ketchup?
No.
You know that it's Tone Loke.
That's also not a toilet. That's a bed. Let's go back over this direction here.
Tone Loke for sure.
I'm going to turn your hips back this way.
But he asked for another bottle of ketchup and just used the same thing on both of his sandwiches.
I get it. Yeah. Yep.
Julie Bowen is 51. She was in Happy Gilmore.
She's awesome.
Modern Family.
She is awesome.
She got a bit Skeletor. Hotter in Happy Gilmore.
Happy birthday, Julie.
Really? Hotter in Happy Gilmore, huh?
She got a bit Skeletor.
I guess she was also 20 years younger. So that sometimes helps.
Yeah.
Your hotness. Yeah. David Faustino is 47.
Damn.
Bud Bundy.
Married with children.
Didn't we get you a
cameo? From
a cameo
Bud.
From him?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
How'd that go?
He was available.
Your internet working?
Jessica Biel is 39.
Damn.
Charlie Brooker is 50.
Is that JT's squeeze?
His wifey.
Charlie Brooker is the creator of Black Mirror on Netflix.
Solid.
Chef Buddy Velastro is 44. He is known as the cake boss.
Hey, I do sometimes eat cake
boss,
for breakfast.
From Buddy the cake boss. Hey.
And SNL's Tim Kazurinski is 71. Oh, wait.
That's
I also missed.
The Unabomber.
Oh, he also wrote the movie about last night.
Who am I thinking of from SCTV that was Tim something? Little bitty guy. Maybe he did Sniglets or something.
Rich Hall?
That was Rich Hall.
He wasn't on SCTV.
I don't know. I get them all confused.
Yeah, you stupid ass.
They all look alike to me.
And rapper Lil Flip is 40.
Game over.
Born on this day,
songs.
Now dead. We have Alexander Graham Bell.
It was This Is the Way We Ball, Mino.
Okay.
Remember that one.
Charles Ponzi.
Oh, boy.
He invented the scheme.
And James, cool. James, what?
Just like that you're such a good criminal that forever ripping people off is known as your name. That's contributing.
It's a solid legacy.
It's an eternal brand.
That's like winning multiple majors of crime.
Right.
It's like all facial tissue or Kleenex.
Thank you for tying it into golf so we could understand what you were saying.
I knew you were golfing today, so I wanted to make sure I could communicate with my friends.
And James Doohan.
Scotty.
Oh,
Scotty
got the power, Captain.
Is he the oldest?
She can't take much more. I think she's going to Blair.
Is he the oldest father at 82? Right? He had a. Tony Randall was 70 something, I think, but Scotty was 82.
Really?
I think so.
Well, I don't
something
know
weird.
About that.
Something weird.
He something used a computer.
Man.
Computer. Fertilize this egg.
He married a girl when he was 54 and she was 18.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, really?
I met his daughter.
So he beat...
Yeah, he was 80 when his last kid was born.
80! The same girl?
Yes.
Like he waited 30 years or so? Oh, man, that's really...
I don't want to ruin that thing.
Really great. I mean, interesting.
Yeah.
Not...
Gross?
Great.
Hot?
Dead on this day, still dead, Roger Bannister, the first to ever run the 4-minute mile.
Is he a ranger?
No, he was a runner.
He did it before TC.
He was a flogger, I believe.
Mike, you should rest right now.
Do you remember when TC said he could run a 6-minute mile if you gave him...
Among
he needed
the most
4 months.
6 minutes?
He needed 4 months, and he would be able to do a 6-minute mile.
And gosh. If you spot him the first 3/4 of a mile.
How did we not get that funded?
I don't know, man.
Because he eventually backed off of it whenever you were
trying to fund it.
Yeah, when the pressure
Bob
got turned
down
up a little
five
bit.
Grand, he's like, no, I was just saying it.
Like the hog, that got done. But we never got to see him run for 6 straight minutes.
Wow.
What a missed opportunity.
How many miles do you think he would get?
In 6 minutes?
Yeah.
Like a half a mile, but we just get to the joy of watching him run. Like,
yeah, but he comes from a running family. You do realize that.
He does.
Like his father is like a marathoner.
Yeah, that matters.
Maybe he hasn't fully realized his potential.
This is where we need the drone and the GoPro and everything. And
five.
Just have Chuck
Shut
cam.
Up, Mike.
4, 3, 2.
Well, Mike is
and
well, y'all stick around. We'll carry everything over.
Let's do that. Shut it down. Let's go.
Let's carry this over.
Okay.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas Fort Worth. KTCK FM Flower Mound. Too bad for